The topic of these and the two last lectures that will follow is penalization methods
for constraint documentation.
Okay. The idea of penalization is the following. You want to replace your problem with hopefully one single unconstrained problem which is equivalent to the original problem. Because unconstrained problems are easier to solve. But this is likely to fail, so what you are really going to do is to reduce your problem to a sequence of unconstrained problems. Okay? In such a way that the limit procedure brings you to the optimal solution of the problem. We are going to see two different approaches to penalization. External penalization and interior penalization. The ideas behind are somehow opposite. External penalization, you will construct a sequence of unconstrained problems where the optimal solutions are likely to be outside the physical region and are approaching the physical region. In the other situation, you would like to have unconstrained problem in such a way that the optimal solution lies inside the physical region. Okay? And in both cases, as the penalization parameters approaching P or zero, the problem becomes closer and closer to the original problem. So let's start with external penalization. I don't know if exterior is also used. And, let's start with an example. Okay, rather than starting with theory. Let's suppose we want to minimize two functions of two variables, the square of the Euclidean norm. So, the sum of x1 squared plus x2 squared subject to this equality constraint. X1 plus x2 has to be equal to 1. Okay, so we are in the plane, our visible region is aligned, and we want to solve this problem. Okay? It's not difficult to check that the optimal solution is one half. Okay? There's a very simple way in which you can check this, which is based on a simple technique of elimination of constraints that can be used when you have linear equality constraints, because here x2 is equal to 1 minus x1, okay? And x1 changes over r, you describe the new line, okay? This line is made by points whose coordinates are x1, 1 minus x1, as x1 changes over r, okay? So that actually this problem can be written as minimized x1 squared plus 1 minus x1 squared such that x1 belongs to r. Okay? This is a way to get an equivalent unconstrained problem, but works only when you have, works well only when you have some linear constraint, and not necessarily you can eliminate all variables except a few which remain unconstrained. So it doesn't necessarily always work. But in this case, here if you compute the derivative, you will find out that the derivative is zero when x1 is one half. Okay? And then the function is convex, so this is the actual minimum point. So check it again by your own. This is the optimal solution.
Okay.
The idea now is I would like to solve a problem which is somehow, or to some extent, equivalent to our original problem, but we want that the vector x belongs to R2. We don't want any more the constraint. Okay? x1, x2 has to belong to R2. How can we just do this? Well, we could take the original objective function, then I would like to add something which is meaningless if I'm inside the physical region, so if I satisfy the constraint, okay, and which gives a penalty to points which do not satisfy the constraint. Okay? So if, for instance, I write here this quantity, well, this is zero in the constraint, so that in the physical region, this objective function is equal to this one. Okay? Outside, if this is positive, I'm adding a positive term, and this is good, since I'm trying to minimize. But if it is negative, I'm getting better. So the idea is I can take the square. Okay? In such a way, on the physical region, the two objective functions are equal. Outside the physical region, the objective function is penalized by this term, which is positive. Okay? So the idea here is to put also a penalization coefficient. Okay? As R is bigger and bigger, I penalize the points which do not satisfy the constraint more and more. Okay? So, I would like to find an R big enough such that the two problems are equivalent. This is never true. Let's solve this unconstrained problem. Okay? To solve this unconstrained problem, it is enough to check where the gradient of this function is zero. Okay? So, let's call this the penalized objective function, P of R. If I take the gradient of this function, and I want it to be zero, then what I get is 2i x1 plus 2i r x1 plus x2 minus 1, and similarly here, I get this. You can run the computation. This is a system of two linear equalities with two variables. You get the solution, which is x1 equals x2 equals r, where is it? R divided by 1 plus 2r. Okay? So this is the unique stationary point of this function. And also notice, you can check it by yourself, that this function is convex. Okay? This part is convex, and also this part is convex. Okay? Because this is a function of a square function of two variables, so you compute the matrix of the second order terms, and you will find out that it is positive and negative. Okay? So this is a stationary point of a convex function, so it is actually a minimum one. Okay? Let's see. Is there some error such that this satisfies the constraint? No, because this is 2r divided 1 plus 2r, which is always smaller than 1. Okay? So, this point never satisfies the constraint. It is the solution of an unconstrained optimization problem, but it does not satisfy the constraint for every value of the penalization coefficient. But, take R that goes to plus infinity, and this ratio goes to 1 half, okay? Because here the coefficient is 1, and here the coefficient is 2, and this becomes irrelevant, okay? As R goes to plus infinity. Calculus. Basic calculus from first year. So, as R goes to plus infinity, the optimal solution of the penalized problem converges to the optimal solution of the original problem. Okay? And this is our goal. Okay? I will make now this formal in general. I transform the original problem in a problem where there is no constraint, and I have terms in such a way that outside the feasible region they are positive and they are zero inside the feasible region. So that in the feasible region you don't modify their objective function, and outside you give some penalty to the points. So, let's get into the formal framework. So I want to minimize f such that x belongs to capital X, where capital X is given in the most general form through a set of m inequalities described by functions gi and p equalities given by the functions hi. Okay? Now, how do I build a penalization function? Okay, let's try to build a penalization function in the same way we did in the example. Okay? We consider the original function. Then, okay, let's for a moment skip the inequality constraint and go back to the equality constraint. How did we do this? We take the constraining function and we take the square. Okay? Since in the feasible region this is zero, if I take the square in the feasible region, I'm adding zero, and outside I'm adding something positive. So here I can add the square of the constraining equality constraints, okay? And I sum all over the constraint and I multiply by the penalization parameter. How do I deal with inequalities? Inequalities are a bit more complex to handle with, because in the feasible region, they can be zero, but they can also be negative. Okay? So if you take the square, this doesn't work, because this could be positive also in the feasible region. Well, you could say, well, g of x, well, I want something which is zero in the feasible region. So I want something which is, I want a function, I will call it g plus, which is zero if gi of x is less or equal than zero, and positive otherwise. Well, I can take the maximum, the pointwise maximum between zero and the value of the function. Okay? So, if the constraint is satisfied, this is less or equal to zero, this maximum is zero. If the constraint is not satisfied, this is positive, and so this is positive as well. Okay? So here I could add
these GI plus functions. Okay? And in this way, it looks like it works. Well, okay, let's check. If I'm in the feasible region, each one of these is zero, each one of these is zero. So in the feasible region, if x belongs to the feasible region, then p of r is equal to x. If I'm outside the feasible region, then the penalty takes place, because at least one of these is not satisfied, so at least one of these is possible. Okay? But this is not the penalty function we are going to consider. Why? There's a little drawback. I would like to deal with differentiable functions, continuously differentiable functions. So all my data f, gi, hj are continuously differentiable functions. Okay? So also this one is continuously differentiable, and also this one is continuously differentiable. The trouble is that even if gi is continuously differentiable, there's no reason why gi plus should be differentiable. So, take the most simple example in one variable, g of I equal x. Okay? So, if x is negative, this function takes value 0. Okay, so let me write it. So here the function is 0, and then it is equal to x. So this is gi plus. Okay? Here, in 0, this function does not have a derivative. Okay. And it is exactly the point at which the value of the function is 0. Okay? They don't connect smoothly. They create an angle. Okay? They create some non-smoothness. So, this is not differentiable, but it works in the example, and it works always as well. If I take the square, okay, if I take the square, this is x squared. Okay? So, if I take the square of gi, well, here it remains 0, and here the function is no longer x, but it is x squared. Okay? G squared is differentiable. Gi differentiable implies that gi plus squared is differentiable. Okay? And for me, not much changes in terms of penalization, because this function is greater or equal than 0 everywhere. So if I take the square, I keep providing a penalty. I keep providing a penalty for points which are not feasible, while in the feasible region it is still 0. So, this is the trick. I'm not going to prove this to you, and also I'm not proving to you the formula for the gradient. It's a calculus exercise. If you take the gradient of gi plus square, well, you take the gradient of the square of a function, so it should be 2i the function times the gradient of the basis, but the basis is not differentiable. But it is true that here you can take the gradient of gi. So this formula is true. The gradient of gi squared is this expression here. So in this way we have a penalty function which preserves differentiability. So this is nice because we still have a way to penalize points which are not in the feasible region, and I'm also preserving differentiability. Okay? So that I can take the gradient of this function to find its minimum points. Okay? Actually, its stationary points. So, we have the problem P. Let's call V bar its optional value. And we also have, through this function, the unconstrained problem PR, which is to minimize the penalized objective function all over the full space. And let's call VR its optimal value. Okay, these are true. So, as a consequence, first consequence here, well, on the feasible region, the two functions are the same. So, it means that here, when I consider the feasible point, I'm just having f. Okay? Then I have other points at which the function may take a smaller or a bigger value than f. So, first remark is, since on the feasible region, capital X, the two functions coincide, and here I'm taking the minimum also over other points, vr is less or equal than v bar for all positive coefficients R. Second remark, if I take R1 greater than R2, okay, well, here the function I get is bigger, okay? So what I get is that at every point this function is greater or equal than this other function, okay? Why I'm not putting simply greater? Because maybe the feasible region is the full space and I do not realize it is, okay? So this is true, so that means that the sequence, as R increases, the optimal value increases. Okay? It's a monotone, to be precise, non-decreasing function. So, when I take the limit for R that goes to plus infinity, this is actually the sum of the values, and it is still less or equal than the optimal value. Okay, let's call this bigger. No, I cannot call it this way. So, okay. This is anyway less or equal than the optimal value of the problem, because each of them is less or equal, so when I take the limit is less or equal. The limit exists because the sequence is increasing and it is bounded by above. Okay? When I have a sequence of numbers which are increasing and it is bounded above, then by a calculus result, the limit exists. Okay? Exists, and it is the sum of the values. Last remark, which comes easily after this one, suppose X, let me call XR, is a minimum point of the generalized problem. Okay? I managed to find the point of the penalized problem. And I'm very lucky. This point is also feasible for my original problem. Okay? Then I can easily guess that this point actually is an optimal. Is the minimum point of our problem. Why is this true? Well, because we know. Okay, I can simply give you the proof. So P of R in XR is less or equal than P of R at X. Okay? By definition, it's the minimum point. So this is particularly true for all feasible points. Okay? But for feasible points, this function is actually f at x. Okay? And this function, f belongs in capital X, and also x star. And this function is f at x star. So, through this simple pair of equality and this inequality, which is given by the definition itself of XR, I prove that over the feasible region, this is the minimum point. Okay? So, if I'm lucky enough that I assign a value to the penalization coefficient, and I end up with a feasible solution, what I get is the optimal solution of the original problem. Okay? Bad news from the examples. The example suggests that this is unlikely to be true. Okay? This is unlikely to happen. Where is it? This is unlikely to happen, that the optimal solution of the penalized problem is feasible for the original problem. In our example, it never happens. Okay? And in a few moments, I will show you why it is very unlikely to happen. Okay? It may happen, but it may happen only in very lucky situations which are unlikely to happen. First, let me give you. First a remark, and then the main result. The remark is the following. Okay. Here I'm asking to solve this problem to find its global minimum. Okay. We know that even if a problem is unconstrained, global optimality is hard to achieve because the methods we have are for local minima. Okay? The good news is when you have convexity. If this function is convex, then when you take the stationary point, you are actually get minimum point, like it was in the example. Exercise for you. Suppose f is convex. Gi's are convex. Hj's are affine. So linear plus a constant term. Prove that the penalization function is convex. Over the feasible region. Why I'm interested in this remark? Because the theorem you can prove is the following. Okay? Okay, take a sequence, so this is the theorem, the convergence theorem. Take a sequence of RK that goes to plus infinity. Okay? A sequence of penalization parameters that goes to plus infinity. Take any global minimum point of the corresponding penalized function. Then the theorem states that any cluster point of this sequence is a global minimum point of our original sequence. What happens here? Okay? The limit of the sequence is a solution of the original problem. But to exploit this theorem, you need global minima of the unconstrained penalized problem. Okay. So, if your problem is convex, you are lucky because you can solve these problems by standard local methods. Okay. Standard gradients, Newton conjugate gradient, and so on. The proof is not difficult, but it's just a couple of lines, but I'm more interested in showing you that the trouble is if you make this, you actually need to take RK that goes to plus infinity, okay? Because if this happens for some RK, if for some RK, XRK is feasible, is feasible, then you stop, okay? So an algorithm would say, okay, produce this sequence. At each iteration, if this point is feasible, then stop, otherwise update. Okay, with a larger parameter. Well, it's not likely to happen that you satisfy the stopping criterion. Why? We do know that this is the global minimum point of the original problem, so the gradient of the penalized objective function will be zero. Okay? So let's compute this gradient here. First term we have f, so the first term is given by the gradient of f. Then I have plus r, the sum, all over inequality constraint, and I have to take the gradient of this. I'm sorry I erased it, but the gradient of this is 2 times GI plus in XK times the gradient of GI in XK. Okay? And then I do the same for equality constraints, and when I take the gradient, I get 2i r h j at xk times the gradient of the function at xk. Sorry, this is xk. Okay. So, this is true in general. Take away k is take k away everywhere. This is the general form for the gradient of the finalized.
Okay. Let's suppose that xk is feasible. Okay? Feasible means this is zero. So all this is zero. Xk feasible means that this function are all zero. So this is zero. So what I've left here is the gradient of that. So what I mean is that the gradient of that has to be zero. Okay? If the global minimum point of this unconstrained problem is feasible for the original problem, the gradient in that point is zero. Okay? So it is possible to get inside the feasible region only if you adopt a stationary form of f. Okay? Stationary of f over the full space, the gradient of f at the point is zero. So, if in your physical region the gradient of f is zero nowhere, there is no point where it is zero, you will never get to a feasible solution for a fixed value of the penalization parameter. Okay? So, it's very unlikely to happen. Indeed, here, let's see, in the feasible region, let's go back to the example. In the feasible region, the gradient of f is, in the example, the gradient of f is 2 times x. Okay, it's 2x. And this is 0 if and only x is 0. But x0 is not in the feasible region, okay? Because 0, 0, minus 1 is not equal to 0. So, in the example, it was not possible at all to have this solution to be feasible for some value of r, okay? Because the gradient of the objective function is not 0 at any point of the feasible region, okay? And indeed, when you have a stationary point of the full f inside your feasible region, you can apply the algorithms for unconstrained optimization, okay? All the same, with some paying some attention to some details, but you could do that, okay? The troubles we are having for constraint problem is that the gradient equals zero is no longer generally an optimality condition. So, unlike, except very particular cases, you need to take r that goes to plus infinity. Okay? The penalization parameter has to go to plus infinity. There's another interesting remark, very interesting, I can give you. And here's the following. Well, this is a coefficient. This is another coefficient. Sorry, this is RK. Okay. But here we have the gradient of f, the gradient of the inequality constraints, the gradient of the equality constraints. This is the multiplier school. Okay. So, with this coefficient, minimum of the original minimum of the penalized problem satisfy the multiplier's rules for the original problem with these multipliers. Okay? Notice that this is greater or equal than zero because this function is greater or equal than zero everywhere. Okay? So we also have the right sign for the multipliers. Okay? So it should look like, well, if the problem is convex, the multipliers rule, now the KKT conditions are sufficient for optimality, so why it is not true that this is an optimal solution? KKT conditions are given by the multipliers rule plus the complementarity slackness conditions. Okay? And are they true here? So, multiplier complementarity slackness should mean that if they relate to only two inequality constraints. If the constraint is non-active, the multiplier has to be zero. Okay? Now, so let's suppose that the constraint is not active. So this is not zero. Okay? If the constraint is satisfied, this is zero. But if xk, as it's likely to happen, is not satisfied, this is positive. Okay. So, what is missing here for having KKT conditions is complementarity. Okay. In general, complementarity does not hold. It holds only if all inequality constraints are active, which is very unlikely, or if all inequality constraints are satisfied and the solution xk is not feasible because of equality constraints. Okay? So, unlikely, very, very peculiar situation, what you are missing for KKT condition is complementary. Okay? Let's go back to our example for a moment. And, let's compute this. Okay? Let's compute this. This is the unique multiplier because there is a unique constraint. Let's call it mu r, which depends on r. And what is its value? Its value is 2r times times x1 plus x2 minus 1 computed as a solution. So here it should be x1 plus x2 minus 1. So here I have this minus 1, minus 1, which is equal, then I take out, it is minus 1 over 2 plus 2r. Okay? So, this quantity is this, so when I multiply here, what I get is minus 2r divided by 1 plus 2r. Okay? So, if I take this quantity here, it's that value here. Let's take r that goes to plus infinity. This goes to
minus 2 over 2 to minus 1.
Okay? Minus 1. Is it somehow related to the... How is it related to the multiplier here? Okay, so let me compute. And then we are almost done with the example. Let me compute the multiplier for the original problem. Multipliers of the original problem must satisfy the gradient of f plus mu times the gradient of the constraining function, which is 1, 1, equals 0, 0. Okay? So this is gradient of f plus mu gradient of h equals 0, where h is this function. Okay? The constraining function. Indeed, if I take x1 equals x2 equals 1 half, and I take mu equals minus 1, this is 1, 1 minus 1, 1. So it's 0. It's the 0 vector. Indeed, minus 1 is the multiplier corresponding to the optimal solution. Okay? So, it looks like that if I take the limit here, okay, this, let's say, approximate multiplier, this converges to the multipliers corresponding to the optimal solution of the problem. Okay? And this is true, and it can be turned into a theorem, okay, which I will not write down. Let's write it down. Okay. Where? I take out what? I take out the example. So, let's take once again rk equals to plus infinity, xk, the corresponding, no, xk, let's take it, a stationary point of the finalized of the system. A stationary point of the unconstrained problem we are using. Okay? The theorem says the following. Any cluster point x bar of the sequence xk such that the linear independence constraint qualification is satisfied at x bar, so such that the gradient of the active inequality constraint together with the gradient of the inequality constraint all computed at x bar are linearly independent, satisfy the KKP conditions together with the multipliers given by the formula where
KF is any subsequence which gives the cluster point. Okay. Cluster point means that for it is the limit of a subsequence. Take the subsequence and then take the limit as 2RK G plus IK GI, sorry, plus in X KF for each I, and call this lambda I, and call lambda I bar, and call mu J the limit as L goes to plus infinity of 2 R K H J X K L. Okay. So you take the limit here for any subsequence that converges to the limit point, and you have the multipliers which satisfy the KKT condition together with X bar. Okay. So this is roughly saying, let's take a stationary point of the unconstrained problem. Okay, if the sequence converges to a regular point, to a point which satisfies the constraint qualification, then I have that the point is a KKT point together with these multipliers. Okay, this is the theoretical framework. In practice, the full sequence xk will converge, and here you will have the limit of these coordinates. Okay? So, all of this is pretty nice. The point is you will never get feasibility, you will never get an XK which is feasible. Okay. And this is also given by the multipliers rule. Suppose that one of these multipliers is non-zero. Okay. So the point you are going to, X bar, satisfies the KKT condition with these multipliers, and one of them is not zero. Okay, it means that these quantities are not zero. Okay, they are converging to something which is different than zero. So at least one of them is non-zero. Being non-zero means that all the equality or the inequality constraints are not satisfied. Okay, so there's no way. There's no way you can get a feasible XK unless these multipliers are all zero. And all these multipliers zero means that the gradient is zero, the gradient of X in the multipliers rule. So once again, you have this necessity to take the parameter RK that goes to plus infinity. Is this a problem? For the mathematics, it is not. Okay, for the computation. Okay, so for computational point of view, it is. Why it is a problem? Because when you have a parameter that goes to plus infinity, you could have numerical troubles. Okay, and indeed, you have. You have bad conditioning, okay? The problems are ill-conditioned. So, you want to compute, you want to solve this system, okay? We did not discuss this, but this is related to the multiplier, to the eigenvalues of this matrix. Okay? And if you take our example and you make the computation, Okay?
You compute...
So the example was simple, the function, it's no longer here, but was pretty simple. If you do the computation, this matrix will come up to be 2 plus 2R, 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 and... okay, once again, 2 plus 2R. If you take the eigenvalues, one is 2 and the other one is... and the other one is
2 times 1 plus 2R. Okay? So, it's an exercise. Take the example, compute the Hessian matrix, and the eigenvalues. The eigenvectors are 1, 1 and 1 minus 1. Okay? So, just to simplify it. The problem here is that the maximum eigenvalue, as r goes to plus infinity, goes to plus infinity. Okay? And the conditioning of the matrix is related to the ratio of the maximum and minimum eigenvalue. And this ratio is going to plus infinity. Okay? So the problem, as r gets bigger and bigger, gets more and more difficult to be solved. Okay, you can go into numerical stability problems. Clearly not in this example, which is very simple, and you can solve it by hand. Okay, but it gives you the idea that actually the problem is not in bad condition. Okay, ill condition. So, how to deal with this problem? We take a break, and then I start you giving ideas and of how to overcome this issue, and we will continue the topic also on Thursday.